Today is a great day for celebration. And we celebrate Jesus. As people gather to celebrate Christmas, I just wonder whether they stop to think, what is the celebration all about? Last week, I attended a cell group Christmas party. And the host was asking this very same question. And then as answers were being passed around, a boy, 4 years of age, he said this. He said, it is Jesus' birthday, and I celebrate Jesus. Wow, I was very impressed by his answer, and so were the others around me. And I heard the person beside me say, wow, when I was a kid, Christmas was just about receiving presents. So, what's your answer to this question? Why do we celebrate Christmas? And today, attending this service, you'll be convinced that Christmas is about the gift of great joy. It's about God who loves us and gave what none could give. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's begin by reading from Scripture. If you have your Bible, please turn to Matthew chapter 2. And we'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 11. And I'll read. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when he rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So when King Herod was disturbed, everybody got stressed up. And verse 4. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come out a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it's been declared that Christ the Savior has come, and the King is coming again. Say amen to that.
Amen.
2,000 years ago, the Magi from the east embarked on a treacherous journey. It was 1,000 miles from Persia to Israel, to Jerusalem. And when they arrived in Jerusalem, they asked this question. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. This question, posed centuries ago, marks the arrival of the long-awaited king. But who is this king? And the prophet Micah had said this hundreds of years ago. In fact, 700 years BC, 700 years before Christ was born. And Micah said this, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And on being told of the location, the Magi proceeded another 10 kilometers towards Bethlehem. What great excitement, the joy and joy it was when they found the newborn king. And they bowed down and they worshiped him and they offered precious gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And today, in this message, the key word is worship the king. But the announcement of the king's coming brought about different responses. And from the passage that we've just read, we see three categories of people, each having different attitudes and agenda concerning the arrival of this king. To the Magi, they traversed afar to seek the newborn king with a heart of worship, and they came prepared to offer him gifts. But for King Herod, he felt threatened by the news of the newborn king, because it was the Roman Senate that had titled Herod the King of the Jews. And so, his purpose in wanting to seek out where this newborn king is to eliminate the competitor to his throne. As for the chief priests and scribes, they knew the answers, because had been prophesied, and the prophecy of Micah, which I've just read, they knew about it. And so they answered the king with this answer. But for the scribes and the religious leaders, they knew the answers, and it was 10 kilometers away from them where they could have found this newborn king. And yet for them, it was business as usual. They were indifferent whether it's the king or not the king. They were indifferent, and so they remained where they were. So which category do you identify yourself with? And I hope all of us here are aligned with the Magi who seek Jesus wholeheartedly. The Bible says that when we seek him, we will find him. And after we have found him, we keep on seeking him for guidance in our daily life. Let's explore the significance of the kingship of Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew relates the coming of Jesus as the newborn king in the lineage of King David, fulfilling the prophecies of the Bible that had come forth from the various prophets like Micah, Jeremiah, and so on. And in fact, Jesus is the Creator God. Jesus is not just a historical figure or a spiritual leader. He is the Creator God. As the Creator, he is the rightful owner of the whole universe. And a king must have a kingdom and the authority over this kingdom. And as King of the universe, Jesus has the supreme authority in heaven and on earth, and his authority over all creation, and rules, and he rules with divine authority on earth. And this makes him the supreme ruler. He's also the sovereign king, and Jesus is all-knowing, all-powerful, and he comes under no other. And therefore, that makes him completely independent of any other. And there was a time when Jesus was on a boat with his disciples, and there was a stormy sea and brought the boat to the point of almost being capsized. And so the disciples on the boat, they were all panicking, and they called upon Jesus, and Jesus simply calmed the storm just by a word. And he said, "Peace, be still." The disciples were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." And this recorded event in the Bible shows that Jesus has authority over the natural world. Jesus pre-existed and he is eternal. He pre-existed before the beginning of time. And the Bible in John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And this passage emphasizes that on Jesus' eternal nature and his role as the creator of the universe. It's significant to highlight that the Creator God wants to establish relationship with us. This Creator God created the heavens and the earth. He's therefore owner of the universe. And do you know that the closest star to our solar system is a star called Alpha Centauri? And this star, although it's the nearest star to us, is 4.2 light years away from us. And if that's difficult to imagine, what's 4.2 light years? In terms of the distance between the sun and the earth, this star is 280,000 times the distance of the sun to the earth. And that's only the nearest star. And we have billions of stars in the universe, in the galaxies. And so, you see how big this Creator God is. And so when we call him the Almighty God, it is actually indescribably great. It's difficult for us to imagine how great it is, but he is the Almighty God. And yet, this Almighty God, he knows you and me by name. Our King knows his subject by name. How great a love is that? And because of his great love, Jesus came to earth from heaven. And he took upon himself a human form. And his identity is identified. It's verified. This newborn King, Jesus, is the Messiah, the anointed ruler or King of the Jews who brings salvation. This title, Messiah or Mashiach in Hebrew, means God anointed ruler or King. So you see, when the Magi inquired about the King of the Jews, Herod referred to him as the Messiah. Herod called the scribes and asked, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. And the scribes quoted scriptures revealing the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And the title King of the Jews was also given to him at the crucifixion. Above his head, they placed this written charge. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Also, in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the angels announced to the shepherds, today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So, all this points and verifies that the newborn King is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And according to prophecy 2, Jesus' royal lineage is rooted in the line of King David. So, you see here, in Matthew, his legal lineage from Abraham to King David, and then to King Solomon, and all the way down to Joseph. Whereas in Luke, his biological lineage from Adam to King David, then to David's third son, Nathan, and all the way to Heli, the father of Mary, and the father-in-law to Joseph. So Jesus, he came to be our Lord and Savior, restoring his lordship over our lives, and he gives us eternal life through his death on the cross. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And there's great joy when we receive him as King in our life. And we sing this song, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let us receive this King." But despite the overwhelming evidence of Jesus' first coming, not everyone recognized him as the Messiah. And in fact, the prophecies who knew scriptures had misconceptions about the Messiah. They did not grasp his divine nature and his mission. And they had expected him to come as a glorious King to save them. They didn't expect him to come as a lowly servant. And so the Lord said that they knew not scripture. In fact, Jesus said, "These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." As we reflect on the kingship of Jesus, we are compelled to ask ourselves this question. What are we to do about it? Will we, like the Magi, worship him and bring gifts to him? Or will we, like Herod, reject him and try to eliminate him? The choice is ours. And I hope that we all make the right choice. Worship the King. The significance of Jesus' coming is a profound topic. And to grasp the depth, we need to dwell on two crucial aspects, and that is his first coming and his second coming. At his first coming, Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice by leaving the glory in heaven to be born as a human. And the act of love demonstrates God's willingness to go to extremes to reconcile humanity to himself. So, if you want to communicate with an end, you have to be an end in order to communicate with the end. But who wants to be an end to be trampled upon? But Jesus, he came down from heaven to take upon himself a human form so that he can bring salvation to the world and so that we can be reconciled to God, our Heavenly Father. So, what is the significance of Jesus coming? At his first coming, Jesus made this huge sacrifice. And Jesus came and to be on the cross, he bore our sins on his body, and he suffered humiliation, he suffered greatly. The nails that was nailed upon him was 6 inches long. And so, but by his blood, he shed for us and brought about salvation for us. The Lamb of God, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Imagine this King who rules over a vast kingdom, but his people have rebelled against him. Instead of punishing them, the King decides to take on their form, to live among them, and to ultimately die for their sins. This is precisely what Jesus did. And Jesus saves us from eternal death to eternal life. And he removes our sin and our guilt by bearing our sins on the cross. What is our response? Our response is to receive this gift of eternal life by coming to him in submission, in confession, and in receiving him as our Lord and risen Savior, and to receive Jesus into our heart. And so this is the good news. It's receiving eternal life by faith in Christ Jesus. And John chapter 1 verse 12 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God. Oh, so what manner of love is this that the Father should bestow upon us, that we should be called the sons of God? What tremendous love God has bestowed upon us. And so, that's how we receive eternal life, is by faith in Jesus Christ. And you do so by turning to Jesus in repentance and forgiveness of sins. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it assures us that for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So there's no complicated formula involved. It's by the grace of God that we are saved by faith in Jesus. And so we receive him and we make him king in our life. And the other thing is that Jesus promised to return. So we now talk about his second coming. And the king is coming again, soon. Jesus is coming. And we sang this song. He's coming. He's coming again. And this time, he'll be coming as the King of Glory. He will sit upon his throne. And Jesus is the great I Am. This is the title for the King of Glory. And in Revelation chapter 1, he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty God. And he'll judge the nations and establish his reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Jesus coming again is certain, is for sure. And Jesus said this not once, but many times in the Bible. And there are many prophecies about his second coming. Before his crucifixion, Jesus told his disciples that he was going away to prepare a place for us in heaven. And he said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me, that where I am, you also will be. So this is what Jesus said. And he promised many times that he will come back for us. That promise will be fulfilled at the rapture of the church. It will be the day of the Lord's coming in the clouds. And the question is, when will it be that our King is coming back for us? Well, no one knows. Of the day and the hour, no one knows. But we are told to keep watch. We are to know the signs of the end times, and Bible prophecies tell us that his coming again is very near. In fact, his coming again is in two phases. Before his return in power and glory to establish kingdom on earth, there would be a period of great tribulation and catastrophe that will be upon the earth just prior to his second coming. But before that happens, Jesus will come in the clouds to call out the church. And the Bible says, the church as his bride. And we call this the rapture. And the Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he said, "The Lord himself will come down from the heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." And Paul says, "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." So let's be encouraged that the Lord is coming for us at the rapture. And in fact, in the late 1990s, I was handling a family cell group. And then we have the children and the adults singing and worshiping together. And then one of the child, around 8 years of age at that time, he received a vision, and so he told us about it. And that vision has been a great encouragement to me. And he said in the vision, he saw Bethesda community as a congregation rising up in an arrow-shaped formation. And so when he said that, I knew he was receiving a vision of the rapture. And so he told us, he said, in this arrow-shaped formation of BC rising, he said, "Senior Pastor Philip was there, right in front, heading in that arrow-shaped formation. And Uncle Roland, you are not far behind him." And so he was very encouraging, and I've kept this in my heart all these years, a picture of the rapture. And so after that, all the other members asked him, Did you see me?" So, yeah, they all, one after another, said, "Do you see me in that arrow-shaped formation?" So, be encouraged. The King is coming again, and he's coming soon. And in anticipation of the Lord's return, how then should we prepare for his coming again? As we await the second coming of Christ, let's consider, who will the Lord be calling out at his return? What would he expect to see in them? And I can say that the King will expect to see in them the kingsly or kingly characteristics. After all, we're going to be heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus, who is the King. And so, the people that the Lord expect to be raptured would also have these kingly characteristics, the kingly attributes. And so, these are the people who are the genuine believers of Christ Jesus. For one, if you look under Kings, first and foremost, they must know Jesus. And more importantly, that Jesus knows him. It's not just about knowing Jesus. It's whether Jesus knows you. And so, know him and to be known by him. Then, there are people who have intimacy with him through obedience. They are the noble servants of the King, for they have remained faithful and loyal to him despite challenges and difficulties. They are the good stewards of the King. They use the resources that God has given them wisely, bearing fruit in their lives, multiplying their faith and making disciples of others. And they are those who seek Jesus' return in anticipation. There are people who eagerly wait for the return of the Lord Jesus and watching for the signs of his coming and preparing themselves for his arrival. So, when you are asked, "Is the Lord coming again?" you must be saying, yes, he's coming again soon, and you are anticipating his coming. And you will be the one saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. Just as in the book of Revelation, the final verses in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I'm coming again. And the response was, come, Lord Jesus, come. Don't say, I'm not prepared. My brother is not safe yet. My wife is not safe yet. I'm not prepared. No. We prepare ourselves and we witness to all our loved ones so that they come to know the Lord Jesus. And that with this question, are you waiting for the Lord's second coming? You say, yes. Come, Lord Jesus, come. So how then should we prepare ourselves for this great joy of his coming? The answer is simple but profound. The answer is, let us crown him as king in our life. And to do this, we need to cultivate a heart of worship and watchfulness in our lives. We cultivate a heart of worship by being fully present when we worship the Lord, rendering him the attention and giving him our sincere worship, being mindful of his presence amongst us. And the Lord is here amongst us today. So let's worship him in reverence. And don't worship him half-mindedly and the other half of our mind think about, after this service, what am I going to eat? So, cultivate a heart of worship. Render due worship unto the King of Kings. And like the Magi who fell on bended knees and offered precious gifts, we worship God with reverence and humility. We offer gifts of the heart, demonstrating our love for him and his people. And this is a spiritual act of worship, offering ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. We surrender our thoughts, our emotions, and our will to him. And we go after the will of God. So as we worship, we can also focus on the character and attributes of God. And one of his attributes is that our God is full of grace and mercy. And so when we worship him, we can express our heartfelt gratitude and thanksgiving to him. We renew our mind, we focus on eternal values and priorities and live in submission to God's will. In other words, we set our minds on things above and we do things that will count for eternity. Don't waste time on doing earthly things that count to nothing, but do things that will count for eternity. And Colossians chapter 5 says this, set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. So we renew our mind and have this internalized in us that we will live life worthy of his calling, use our time that will count for eternity. We will be obedient to his word. So let's submit to his lordship by placing Christ at the center seat of our heart throne. You know, so in our heart, it's not me at the center of my throne, but I've dethroned myself and I put Christ on the throne of my heart. And W for witnessing to others. You know, sharing the gospel is an aspect of our worship of God. Witnessing to others is an act of worship to God. Because when we proclaim God's glory and majesty and love to others, we declare his love, and by our action, we also show our love for him. And N, we nurture our covenantal relationship with the Lord. We deepen our personal relationship with Jesus through regular and heartfelt prayer, through worship, and through our praises of Him. And so, this requires setting aside dedicated time for prayer, listening, and communion with Him. We engage in regular worship and praise privately, with accountability prayer partners, meaning praying with my wife, or praying with my mentor or my cell leader, and to have these accountability prayer partners. And we also pray corporately as a body in Christ Jesus. And in doing this, we will be nurturing ourselves to be covenantal keepers. To be covenant keepers, because our God is the great covenant keeper. And He expects us to also keep our covenant with Him. And in conclusion, crowning Jesus as King in our life requires a deliberate and intentional response. Will you join me in making this commitment today? There are also others who have not yet trusted Jesus. There will also be an opportunity for you to pray to receive Jesus right from where you are seated. The Lord is here. So open your heart and be ready to receive Him. And for those of us, believers in Christ Jesus, let's renew our commitment to Him. Will you crown Jesus as King in your life and make Him the center of your worship? That you will obey Him and do according to His will and be His witnesses. Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank You for calling us to be in the kingdom of light. What measure of love is this that You should even call us to be sons and daughters of God? Now, church, as we pray, may I invite you to join me to make a commitment to the Lord to crown Him here and now. And if you desire to surrender your heart, mind, and life to Jesus Christ to make Him the center of your worship, obedience, and witness, join me as I make this prayer in the first person. Meaning, I will pray as I and you will pray in your heart as for yourself. You follow me by praying in your heart. Let's pray together as we make this commitment. Lord Jesus, today I rededicate my life to You and crown You as King in my life. I come before You now, surrendering my heart and life to Your will. I desire to crown You as King in my life, and want to cultivate in my heart a heart of worship, to renew my mind and to focus more on things that come for eternity, to obey Your word, to witness to others as an act of worship, and to nurture my covenant relationship with You. So please, Lord, empower me with Your Holy Spirit to live a life that honors and glorifies You. And to You, Lord Jesus, be the glory. Amen. And now as we continue to pray, Heavenly Father, we pray that this gathering today honors You. As we celebrate Christmas, we thank You for Your precious gift, for You give what none could give. For the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for coming to us as the Savior God, and it's joy to the world, for our Savior reigns. Now, there are those among us here who have not yet trusted Jesus. And for those of you who have yet to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, what a wonderful time to do so today at this Christmas service. The Spirit of the Living God is in our midst. I pause now to give you an opportunity to pray, to receive Jesus, to make Him King in your life. Remember, as we celebrate Christmas, that God gave what none could give. And His gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus made the sacrifice to redeem us. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. He died on the cross in our place that we might live. So all who believe in Jesus and accept Him as Savior and Lord receive salvation and will not perish but have eternal life. Will you pray to receive Jesus? Today, my dear friends, if there's a stirring in your heart in that Jesus is calling you, do not harden your heart and turn away. Open your heart and receive Jesus. For the word of the Lord says that today, as you celebrate Christmas, let the joy of the redeemed be upon you. The word of the Lord says, make peace with me, and I'll grant you peace that transcends all understanding. Call on my name, and I'll show you the way, the truth, and the life. So if you want to make this prayer in your heart to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'll help you to make this prayer. Just follow after me, but it is your prayer from your heart that you're speaking to Jesus. And so follow me in your heart and pray to Jesus like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to believe in Jesus Christ and follow Him. Please save me and forgive my sins. I open the door of my heart to receive Jesus into my life as my Savior and Lord and never to depart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you have made a prayer to receive Jesus just a while ago, tell your friend who brought you here about it. Better still, at the end of the next song or during the next song, come forward so that our leaders can pray for you. At this altar call, I'm also calling on those who have made a dedication unto the Lord this morning, and that you want to be empowered in your life to crown Him as King in your life. Come forward and we'll pray for you. And then there's another word on about fear and anxiety. And I sense that some of you here may be faced with some sort of fear and anxiety. It could be about your future, struggles in your finances, or on job security or health. You need prayer, come forward. And know this, that you can ask for the joy of the Lord to be your strength so that you can overcome your struggles and remain faithful unto the Lord your God. So come as we open this altar call. And while we sing this next song on making Jesus the center of our lives, simply come forward and the leaders will pray for you.